Hello and welcome back to SearchCRM.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group, and we're continuing our conversation with Brent Leary, who's the co-founder and partner at CRM Essentials, a CRM consultancy. And so now we're going to continue talking about CRM trends in 2015.
So you kind of alluded to one of the next themes that I wanted to talk about, and it's a little broad, but it's this whole idea that companies, and they're using the Internet of Things, and they're using subscription-based services, and they're using a whole variety of new tactics and real products, real tangible things, to create new customer services. Do you see that as having growing importance next year?
That may be the biggest, because when you think about what is going on and how much information is coming at individuals, not just daily, but just almost every second of the day, we're kind of bombarded with things. And so it's getting harder and harder to get the attention of the people we're trying to build relationships with and sustain it long enough to form real customer relationships. And so what you're seeing with things like the Internet of Things and with subscriptions are companies that are trying to figure out how to leverage information, how to leverage it from, you know, when it's coming from the actual individuals or from the products and services and devices that they use. How can we take all this information coming from all these areas and then quickly turn it into opportunities to interact and further along our relationships, to extend the relationship, to deepen it, so that we are, of all the things that are coming at them, we're still the ones that they, you know, depend on and focus on. So Internet of Things, being able to do things like what the folks at Fitbit have done, turn those devices into engagement opportunities. So you're seeing, you know, things like what Google bought with Nest, devices that help you understand how folks are using their thermometers at home. What temperatures do they like? When do they like to set them? When do they like to turn it up? When do they like to turn it down? And then provide engagement opportunities based on knowing the customer better. And that also plays a role in the rise of the subscription. We found out that it wasn't really about ownership. It was about access. And the best way to illustrate that is, you know, now everybody has a music streaming service. You know, YouTube came out and announced it. And I think the biggest deal was when, you know, Apple with iTunes, you kind of saw that downloads were going down, but folks like Spotify, subscriptions were going up like crazy. And that, you know, it was because people would rather have access to 20 million songs every month than be able to buy $10 worth of songs a month from iTunes, which, you know, $9.99 is a subscription for a premium Spotify account. So they would rather spend the $9.99 to get 20 million songs than to get 10 songs on iTunes that they would own outright. So you see all these things changing and working, and it's all because companies know they have to stay aligned with the customers, how they're thinking, what they expect, and their behavior as they change. So more data and more value being created and more opportunities to extend the relationship by, you know, offering different pricing models and different value models to a much more savvy, particularly tech-savvy customer base.
So that, we've, of course, all these things are kind of interrelated, but you touched on one of the next important themes, I think, and it's kind of a cluster of different topics, but, you know, it's analytics, which, of course, is huge, and then also making data digestible through tools like data visualization, and even like predictive analytics, not just knowing what customers are doing today or right now, but kind of knowing predictively what they might do in the future. How do you see these things playing out next year?
Yeah, well, I think it was Steve Jobs that had the famous quote. I'll summarize because I don't know exactly how he said it, but it's something to the effect of, if I had to wait for the customers to tell me to make the iPad or the iPod, it would never have been made. So that plays a role in this whole idea of, you have to understand your customers, but you also have to kind of try to figure out what they're going to want in the future. And leveraging the kind of information that's at our disposal today to kind of think, well, if they're doing this today, what would they maybe like to do tomorrow, and how can we make it happen? So I think that's where this whole area of predictive analytics is coming in. I mean, Amazon is saying that what they're hoping to do is be able to basically ship you what you need before you tell them that you want it. That's pretty aggressive. But let's say they're able to come close to that. What does that do? That makes it easier for them to stay connected with you, and it makes it easier for you to almost live this just-in-time existence that we seem to be moving towards, this real-time, get it when we need it, don't worry about it until then, a kind of existence. I mean, they even started with same-day delivery, so they're kind of on their path to making that happen. Things like using information and trying to figure out when is it time for a lead to become a full-blown opportunity. So you're seeing much more emphasis put on trying to figure out what social signals or what kind of, activities and actions are going to help you determine when maybe a lead that wasn't quite ready now becomes somebody that needs to be addressed. And being able to do that quickly and automated in an automated fashion, because if you're good at generating a lot of leads, then you're going to have to figure out the best way to process those leads and nurture those leads and, turn the lead into an opportunity at the right time with the right person, because we have to optimize the effort involved in all of these things. So you can almost look at data from beginning, the first click, the search, the first time they land on your website. Leave a comment on a blog post, attend a webinar, download a white paper. All these things are signals, and that information could be used to have a better handle on what are the ways that we can understand when this lead is ready, what are the things that we should do in order to prime that lead, and what are the other resources that we can bring to bear at the right time during the sales cycle. So you're seeing a lot of that take place. And one of the other things you mentioned was the whole idea of visualizing information. It's so much easier. What is it, a picture is worth 1,000 words or something like that. It's probably worth more today than it was. Maybe we need to look at the real-time value of that statement now compared to when it was first, because it's worth way more now. Video has become so incredibly important, as not just as something to look at, but an engagement opportunity. And so you're seeing when Yahoo bought BrightRoll not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. So video advertising, video marketing is going to become extremely huge as another way to initiate opportunities for engagement, but also not just initiate it, but to actually see it across the life cycle. So there's so much going on: analytics, video, and also we didn't even talk about some of the other pieces to that puzzle, but you can't get away from the importance of being able to grab a lot of data, make sense of it, visualize it, and use it to create better interaction opportunities and experiences with customers.
So now, just to wrap up, we started talking before we actually started recording about something that you have a little bit of a theory about, which is this new analytics-driven business model. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. And I think we're going to see the rise of these companies that start with analytics at its heart. And, for example, there's a company called Mofibo. It's based out in Europe. And basically, they are a e-book subscription company. So they have a library of thousands of e-books that people can read, and you pay a monthly subscription to have access to all these things, to all these e-books. Now, that doesn't sound, you know, like some earth-shattering new business, but what's really interesting is, you know, from my perspective about what they're doing is they have to, or it's to their betterment, basically, to make sure that the members, and they have thousands of members, that their members are reading ebooks to completion. So not just kind of going willy-nilly and getting about 10 ebooks and only reading, you know, maybe a quarter of each of them and then going to the next and going to the next. Because the way that they make their money is they, you know, every time one of their members reads a book, or at least a certain percentage of the book, they have to pay a publisher for that particular, you know, right to, for that person to read it. So if the average Mofibo book member reads 1,000 pages, they make more money if those 1,000 pages are spread over 4 books as opposed to spread over 10 books. And so it's important for Mofibo to make sure that they're putting in front and recommending the kind of books to their individual members that they're going to read to completion. And if they are able to do that, that's how they generate their, you know, their profit, basically. So they have to use analytics to understand their customers, understand what the kind of things their customers like, what who the authors are, and maybe what who their other friends are reading and what their other friends are liking. All in order to make sure that they put the kind of books in front of them that they're not just going to look at a little. They're going to go through, read the whole thing, and then the next book do the same, and the next book do the same. That's how they make their money. So they have to be very analytical at the heart, and they have to use analytics to talk about a lot of the things that we've already discussed, you know, personalized recommendations, make sure that the reading experience is good. Make sure the app is set up and conducive for them to make it easy to read the whole thing to completion. They take all that information in, and they turn it back around into making it easier for their members to read books completely.
So, and I just talked with another CRM expert about this. Do you see all of these things as about companies using information about customers and preferences and products and usage, all these different kinds of things, to deliver better customer experience, better customer engagement, and sort of more to kind of fulfill that role of the new, more informed, tech-savvy, self-service-oriented, just-in-time customer you were talking about?
Yeah, it's all about customers are changing so quickly, but the root of it is their expectations are growing exponentially, basically. Their behaviors are changing dramatically. Their activities and the amount of activities they're doing are growing tremendously. So all of that is in flux, in constant flux. But what isn't in flux and what will always be the case is that customers want the vendors that they select to value them. So one thing stays the same, the other three are constant. So how do you weave all these new changes in but still maintain, you know, the core value of what the customer is looking for, what they expect? That is all, you know, companies that are really trying to figure that out are the ones that are looking to bring this information in so they can find the right insights and deliver those insights in an empathetic manner that they can stay connected with the customer over the lifetime. That's why you're seeing, you know, Amazon is just doing some really interesting things. I was telling you a little bit earlier, I just got the Amazon Echo device, and you know, that it's a really different device than I've ever had. It's a little like a cylinder that connects to your home Wi-Fi, and you can ask it questions, and it'll provide you answers. But it does. It also ties in with the Amazon Prime Music service. So if you have, you want to hear, like me, I like listening to Prince every now and then. You could say, you know, Alexa, play some Prince music, and it'll start playing some Prince music. Or if you have a question, or you want to look something up on Wikipedia, all of a sudden it makes it very easy to do these things.
I can't find a song on Wikipedia in your music library or in Prime Music.
Now that's funny. Alexa, and so Alexa's sitting in the background, and as soon as I say the name, it wakes up and starts wanting to serve me. That's kind of an interesting little thing. So what happens is it makes it easier for us to get the things we're looking for. It makes it easier for us to listen to the things we want to listen to, and it also makes it easier for companies like Amazon to learn us more, to understand us better, and to serve us and provide things that we're going to be able to use. And that allows us to stay connected to them longer, which means we're typically going to be spending more money with them. That, I think, is the win-win of what we're talking about. Yes, customers get better service, they get better experiences, and in return, we get to keep them around longer as customers. That would tend to mean that they're going to spend more with us, and so the value proposition becomes equalized. And I think keeping it equal is the hard part, because it's not going to be where today's customer is not going to change. Today's customer will be changed by tomorrow. So how do we make sure that we stay aligned with them and that the value proposition is aligned as well? That's what we're trying to do with all these things.
Gotcha. Well, we have a lot that we are going to be keeping an eye on, I think, over the course of the next year, and a lot that I'm going to want to check in with you on trend-wise. We didn't even cover it all here. So I'm hoping we're going to get to talk again in the not-too-distant future. And, Brent, thanks so much for your time and sharing your thoughts with us.
Well, thank you, and I think Alexa thanks you, too.
Awesome. Okay. Well, for more on CRM and some of the themes that we've been talking about, check out searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.